Hello and welcome to the 44th Annual J.P. Morgan Healthcare Conference. I'm Sean Perkins, an associate in our Healthcare Investment Banking Group. I'm delighted to be joined today by Aptar, Stephan Tanda, CEO and President, Vanessa Kanu, CFO, Gael Touya, President, Aptar Pharma, and Mary Skafidas, SVP, Investor Relations and Communications. Please join me in welcoming Aptar to the stage. Thank you.
Thank you for this kind introduction. It's wonderful to be back at J.P. Morgan. Really great event. We've come here for many years and happy to update you on our progress. I'm joined by Vanessa Kanu, our CFO, and Gael Touya, the head of pharma on stage, and we'll be happy to answer your questions afterwards. So, reminder, our pharma business, by far the largest part of the company at 46%, dominated by the proprietary drug delivery systems business. And overall, pharma delivers two-thirds of our EBITDA and rising. But we're also very proud of our beauty and closures business, who are increasingly doing very well. Now, we, of course, report out our financials as you see them in the verticals here: pharma, beauty, closures, and so on. That reporting structure was established around 2010. The business is really sharing a lot of common technology platforms that you see here. I won't go through it, from fine mist pumps to aerosol valves. And we practice common industrial technologies: precision injection molding, high-speed automated assembly, and assisted AI-assisted quality control, as just some examples. And we continue to build out this capability set to work with our customers. Fundamentally, we are an IP-driven organization, and IP really in the broad sense. It's patents, it's know-how, it's trade secrets. We've been around for 80 years. We know what we're doing, and we own the intellectual property of what we're selling. We are a manufacturer of dispensing, drug dispensing solutions. We create the consumer experience when we work with consumer companies. Deep, deep regulatory expertise, deep consumer insights, and working together with our clients, we create medicines that are new to the world, that improve patients' lives, sometimes even save patients' lives, and improve the consumer experience all the way to human factor studies through one of our acquisitions a few years ago. We have large total addressable markets, in case you wonder what TAM stands for, and those markets are growing. Pharma, obviously, leading at 7% growth rate, and I'm talking about the market, not about our growth rates. Beauty around 4% and closures around 2%. And we're really focused in our execution to address and take advantage of these large addressable markets around the world. Of course, with the superior returns in the pharma business, we have allocated capital preferentially towards pharma and have a very balanced approach to capital allocation, taking care of our shareholders with 32 years of rising dividends. And I will certainly be not the guy to break that streak, and we don't need to because our growing cash flow supports an annually increasing dividend. We've been recently a bit more active in share repurchases, but have always been buying back some shares to make sure the share count stays in line. And of course, investing in our business and making acquisitions is how we create value for shareholders first and foremost. Maybe not so interesting to U.S. investors, but we are active around the world. More than 50% of our base is in Europe. We are a leader in sustainability in our industry, and it is a competitive weapon. It is a competitive weapon to attract talent around the world and to retain talent. We certainly have become an academy company in our industry, and it is important not only to attract great talent, but to retain the talent. We're very proud of our sustainability efforts, and especially our consumer-facing customers, including consumer healthcare, are very, very keen on upping up the sustainability credentials by working with us. So let's deep dive into the pharma business. That's why we're here. Again, proprietary drug delivery systems is the growth and profit engine. followed by active material solutions and injectables is increasingly gaining its stride. We deal with all the leading pharma companies on a direct basis, of course, often supplying their CMO partners. That is the growth engine of the company. And again, it's built on intellectual property, on really being deeply involved in the regulatory process, which ultimately leads to lock-in of our devices in the drug master file. And our services and digital health offerings allow us to really embrace customers early on in the process. As a manufacturer, the engineering and science know-how, not only of how we make products, but how they interact with drugs, and ultimately how they help patients, is critical. That's really built on 40 years of expertise that we've built up, starting this business organically out of the beauty business. So today's profit engine has been started organically, of course, augmented by acquisitions over time. This gives you an additional view on how the portfolio has developed. We often say if it goes through the nose, Aptar is involved. Substantial position there, and for good reasons, and we'll talk more about that. Very strong position in inhalers. We've developed a strong position in eye care drug delivery and dermal drug delivery, and with an acquisition about 13 years ago, build out now a world-leading injectable business, clearly a distant number two or three, depending on the SKU, to the market leader, but being a very attractive partner to our customers. And in the oral area, we have some forays with our active material business. This is the end result of all this effort and capability, and 10 years of very strong growth. And of course, if you go back to previous decades, same thing. And we feel very good about our 7 to 11 top line growth guidance for this business, as well as the 32 to 36% EBITDA margin. When you look at our pipeline, we've started to disclose that as we came more often to JP Morgan, because healthcare investors are interested in the pipeline, rightly so. That's what drives our business in the long run. And you see since 2019, the average weighted value of our pipeline has increased 54% and the numbers of opportunities by 46%. So substantial increase in the pipeline. And what has been driving that? It is really a proliferation of indications that can be addressed with our kind of delivery items. In the respiratory field, of course, a low GWP propellant transition is an important part of the pipeline. The biologics for injectables, and then I will dive deeper into what we call systemic nasal drug delivery. Now, for those of you who are not doctors, what that means, using the nose to administer drug for the whole system. So basically getting into the bloodstream via the nose rather than through a pill going to the GI tract or direct injection in the bloodstream. The nose has been discovered as this drug delivery vehicle to the bloodstream. And then in addition to that, bypassing the blood-brain barrier by going directly through the nose to the brain with targeted drug delivery, which opens up an amazing new universe for drug delivery. Then, of course, small molecule, traditional injectable opportunities of ophthalmology, ophthalmology, allergic rhinitis, vaccines. We just announced recently a COVID vaccine through the nose in clinical trials, and dermatology rounds out our top eight in the pipeline. It is an increasingly growing, increasingly diverse pipeline, but taking a full advantage of our historical strength in drug delivery with our technologies. At the Capital Markets Day, we opened the curtain a bit more on all the things that go through the nose primarily in terms of when I talk systemic drug delivery. And if you had asked me 2 years ago whether I could show this slide, I said, you're crazy. But it is so has exploded from neurological disorders to neurodegenerative diseases. And anybody who has Alzheimer's or dementia or Parkinson's or Huntington's in their family knows how important those indications are. Cardiovascular, We have two heart medications approved just in the last quarter, one for edema, one for tachycardia. So you take your drug medicines, your heart medications now through a nasal spray. And of course, vaccines I just mentioned, oncology, of course, GLP-1s. I say, of course, now we have people working on delivering peptides through the nose. Dramatic, dramatic explosion of the pipeline. We know pharma pipelines are long, but you see first products coming out of the pipeline, and we are extremely excited about that. I want to describe a little bit what gives us the confidence in that revenue stream. I don't know any other pharma business that works that way. Basically, we work with a client for 10 years to, from an idea to formulate the drug, to get the drug dispensed, to create the clinical trials, and then launch and hopefully have a successful launch. But that's only the start of it. During that 10 years of development, we make small revenues, but we are certainly not losing money. And then in the originator phase, the product grows nicely. Product goes off patent. What goes off patent is the API, not the combination medicine. So we participate then in the generic phase, just with more volume, same margin. And eventually products go over the counter, same story, more volume, same margin. So basically, you have a growing perpetuity. And when you think about that, we have hundreds and thousands of products in the pipeline and maybe close to 100 products launching every year. You layer on one growing perpetuity after another, basically for eternity, because we're dealing with treating chronic diseases and emergency medicines. That is the beauty of this business. That's the power of this business. Over time, we have broadened our capability to embrace customers early on in the drug delivery process, from design, formulation, creating patient insights with our service offerings, analytical testing, human factor, device design, but also how medicines get administered, all the way to patient engagement in the initial picking up of the medication and then patient retention, especially through our digital capability, all the way to consumer devices like Oura. Recently, we announced a collaboration with Oura, with the Oura Ring and our Migraine Buddy app. So this is really the profit engine again of the company that's growing, has a healthy pipeline. And you see just here some of recent examples. In addition to nasal devices, of course, we have also ophthalmic and dermal. This is another way of describing how this business has built up over time. We've been known for allergic rhinitis and dermal drug delivery, nasal saline, and so on. But with the event of Narcan, Spravato, new preservative-free eye care medications, that business has grown and expanded substantially. And with this additional pipeline with systemic drug delivery, nose to brain, new propellants, biologic, GLP-1, the business has just accelerated. In addition to achieving regulatory success by working very closely with customers until that combination medicine, and again, that combination medicine means the API, the formulation, and the delivery device being then captured in a drug master file for eternity. In addition to that dynamic, with our 40 years of manufacturing, we've proven 99.999%, we call it the five nines, of reliability in the field. So if you have a life-saving drug, you have a patient on the floor who is coded because of an opioid overdose, you use that Narcan, it needs to fire with at least that reliability. Nobody else has been able to demonstrate that reliability based on real-world data. And this is really unique in the industry, and that's why people come back to us when they have an idea about their next nasally delivered drug. In addition to getting in the bloodstream, I mentioned the nose has also been discovered to bypass the blood-brain barrier via the olfactory bulb and the olfactory nerves and the brainstem to get drugs directly delivered to brain receptors. We've partnered with Wake Forest School of Medicine that really targeted specific areas of the brain using insulin as a example molecule, proving how we can get to targeted areas of the brain. It's really fantastic news for dealing with mental and neurodegenerative diseases, and it's the basis of many, many products in our pipeline. Now, on the consumer healthcare side, we continue to innovate. Two recent examples. One is the award-winning, sorry for the technical talk, lateral control system, or LCS, that we've worked with Haleon. In Europe, it's, or outside of the U.S., it's called Otrivin. In the U.S., it's called Theraflu, a laterally actuated push-button nasal spray. Award-winning, it just received a major award in the U.S. A little bit longer in the market is our preservative-free eye drop dispenser, or ophthalmic squeeze dispenser. And another example, driven and lifted from our consumer business, a monomaterial nasal pump, Futurity, that's been very welcomed by the consumer healthcare market. Pure Hale has been around for a while, but it's again based on another technology platform that we share across the company, which is the aerosol valve and bag-on-valve technology. Just recently, we announced a Beat the Blink platform. So what the hell does that mean? Basically, you spray it in your eye before you can blink. Not requiring that you tilt back your head and maybe the drop hits your eye or doesn't hit your eye, but it's precisely dosed drug delivery in your eye. And we have a partnership with Bausch and Lomb, and this is currently in final customer trials. Injectables, obviously a very exciting area for us. We have invested in the business substantially. All these capabilities with premium products are now ready and able to supply the market, and the market is exploding. Of course, led by GLP-1, we are most, if not all, the auto injectors for GLP-1s, all the brands that you know, Zepbound, Mounjaro, Wegovy, and a few more, but also vaccines, small molecules, antithrombotics that drive that business. And as you've seen with the Q3 print, very healthy growth rates, and we certainly see those growth rates continue for a while as all our capability has been recognized. So what that business really goes through, I mentioned it's the least profitable part of our pharma business to now, but we do multiple things. Accelerated top line, mix and rich with premium code and value-added products, and drive the productivity in that business based on that new state-of-the-art technology with higher margins. So over time, this will be a much more meaningful part of the portfolio from an earnings generation point of view. Overall, biologics in our business has grown 50% over the 2 years shown there with a significant margin expansion. The substantial investments in biologics and in injectable business is not only in Europe, but that it got the brunt of the investment. We also significantly expanded our U.S. facility outside of Congers, New York, and added capability with the acquisition and build-out in China. So our in-region, for-region supply chain strategy is also being materialized in the injectable business, and given today's supply chain challenges and geopolitical challenges, it's important that you have the capability in each region to supply customers, and be very well positioned for growth in that business. Last not least, active material science. It may sound a little different, but you go in their factory, they look like any other after factory, precision injection molded, automated quality control. But what they make is compounds that condition the atmosphere in whichever space they're in. They can be in a vial, they can be in a pill blister, they can be in a sensor pod for Abbott Libre or for Descovy, for Gilead's AIDS drug. It's really nifty technology, and customers beat their way to our door to, when they have a problem, to keep a sensor stable, keep a COVID test stable, keep a drug stable, or to keep a test strip stable. So this is really a very unique technology, and we're building on that business with additional pharma packaging acquisitions over time. We did a recent deal in Brazil, and you probably will see a few more there. Last not least, our digital business. Often people ask us, why is that important? Well, it all started with e-enabling our devices. If you are in clinical trials, you want to be sure that patients have taken the drug at the time they were supposed to take it, in the way they were supposed to take it, and track that. It then evolved into apps. With the acquisition of Voluntis, we got the world leader in medical devices, being software, tracking patient populations, creating patient trial, creating patient adherence, and nothing is more valuable than the patient who keeps taking their drugs at the right time. And it is a key ingredient to engage with clients early on in the development journey around clinical trial following, around patient engagement, about patient retention, and then patient tracking of patient communities, like with Migraine Buddy, that's now has almost 4 million users, and it's, we announced a partnership with Uber that I mentioned earlier. So let me summarize. The pharma fundamentals are very, very strong. We have a growing business, a growing pipeline, and unique position in the market, having that deep knowledge in the regulatory field, in the patient journey, and being really have become a patient-centric drug delivery engine that customers really value. And we are here for a reason, not to necessarily only talk to investors, but all our clients are here, and they want to talk about this. They want to talk about the digital journey of their patients. They want to talk about how they can get their drug repurposed from a oral dose or an injected form to get it delivered through the nose. So it's a real strong engine. Then our injectable business is going now, really hitting its strides. All the investments have been put in the ground, have been validated, and the market is booming. Couldn't be better timing. I also might say that our business model is different than some of our competitors, and customers appreciate if their supplier doesn't compete with them. So that creates additional customer traffic. Our innovation leadership is backed by really decades of experience, a robust IP portfolio, an IP portfolio that we defend. It's the family jewels. If somebody wants to grab the family jewels, we don't take that lightly. Last not least, clearly we have a reset in Narcan sales after a pipeline explosion of Narcan. But we see strong growth in pharma, with the exception of Narcan this year, and we quantified it with Q3. But also other businesses, beauty and closures, are doing quite well. Especially in beauty, we see customers having run inventories pretty low and threatening us with more orders. And the closures business has really done a great job in getting in fighting shape and taking more business. Last not least, our very solid balance sheet, near 1x leverage, allows us not only to buy back our stock, but retain our strategic optionality and the strategic flexibility to further build the company.